it's between pistol and rifle, but I would say pistol probably has the highest skill ceiling out of all of them. And it's the easiest for people to not get away with not be good, being as good at it and still do okay. But I think the majority of the places that I've gained time on people at my major matches has been my pistol work, because I started putting like about 80 to 85% of my time into pistol, and that's where it helped me, is where, okay, I think. Mm-hmm.
I could see that. I feel like it takes less training to be accurate enough with it, but yeah, I could see where mm-hmm. more training, you can speed up and help yourself for sure. Now, so would you shoot PCSL too? So would you mm-hmm. consider that short range then?
Yeah, I would consider okay. that close. I think the farthest thing they ever have. So the mindset behind their course layout is they want people to basically be able to shoot PCCs too if they don't have ARs. So the target size is always going to be limited to something that a PCC can pretty reliably hit if it's a decent one. I think they always have the farthest, hardest thing is usually like they'll have 100-yard, maybe 8 to 10 inch steel is probably the smallest MOA size. And then they might put something at 150 that's like a full size USPSA target. It's a steel. So it's not hard targets. Nothing I ever even have to hold on. I'm just putting the dot on the center. So it's not far at all.
Now, do you always use your 5.56 in PCSL, or do you use a PCC at times?
Yeah, I the 223 is primarily what I use in everything. I have a PCC that I rarely shoot. There's one match a year, AZ PCC State Championship, that everyone in the local area kind of gears up their PCCs for that one time a year, if you're not a normal PCC shooter. But other than that, the 223, I think, is way faster. It's way easier to manipulate for me, at least, and then the recoil is a lot less, so I'm just used to it more.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm kind of shocked that the 223 has less recoil than the 9.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
I think PCC has a bigger user base that's gone into the weeds a little more, I think, with their load tuning and their buffer system weight tuning. But I think that there's a smaller subset of people with ARs, I think, that get into the weeds just as much. And once you do that, I think the AR is a lot flatter shooting. So the one I have right now, actually, I can go grab it and show you. Hold on one second.
Sure.
So
show and tell.
Yeah, no, I have it all pretty readily available. So this is a 18-inch AR. This is okay. one I'm building specifically, again, for the IP6 style shooting, because the close, fast stuff isn't as common and tight as it is in 3-gun, so 18 inches is what I went with. But Unrivaled is one of my big sponsors. It's two of my really good buddies in the sports, Kyle Letzi and Zach Smith. They designed a couple really, really good parts that I think you could probably put these two parts on any decent gun, and you're going to be probably 85% of the way there with recoil in terms of how much you can get rid of. But this thing, it's a tunable brake, so it's got a really good port design or baffle design, so it's negating as much as it can in terms of the rearward okay. recoil, and it's also got tuning ports all around the baffles so that you can actually tune it to your preference.
All right. How are you tuning that though?
So essentially you'll have a target that's pretty far and hard. I'll probably say 6 inches at 100 yards, like a 6-inch steel target at 100 yards. You'll line it up, shoot one, and you're just watching where the dot goes. You try to get into your most natural shooting position for how you're shooting, and just take one shot, see where the dot goes, and then you basically unplug the opposite. So if my dot moves right, you unplug the same. So if your dot's moving right, you unplug that baffle to counteract it. Mm-hmm. And okay. you just go and tune. And there's actually, you can get a little more granular or a little finer with it too, because they have plugs, and then I'm not going to be able to show this, but they actually have through screws, so it just constricts. It's not actually just fully open, but it's not fully plugged. And then they also have a really good buffer design that's I think the best on the market that negates a whole lot of recoil. And then you start getting into, this is another company I'm starting to talk a lot with, but Rifle Speed, their gas block, as honestly, any adjustable gas block is what you need to start tuning recoil. Because you'll just, most rifles are insanely overgassed, and that's where the, I think ARs have a bad rep of like having a lot of recoil. As soon as you can tune your gas to be as much as it needs to be, depending on the load you're shooting, you get way less recoil. The operating system also matters. So this is a rifle length. As soon when you're talking about mid-length, the pressure spike is a lot higher in the gas impulse. So you have a lot sharper of a kick, whereas with a rifle length, it's a lot smoother of a gas flow into the port and into the carrier to cycle it.
Okay.
And then I've also got a titanium carrier that's made by RCA. They're a super cool company. I don't work with them. They just make good stuff. It's a ultra lightened titanium. It weighs nothing. It feels like an alien part. You're just waving it around and it doesn't weigh anything. So it's just less reciprocating mass. So all that combined with like a good load that's like minimum feet per second that you need. And I can double tap a target pretty consistently, like a 10 inch, 12 inch target at probably 150 yards.
I grabbed some cards because it escapes me. There's a company out there that makes a dual buffer system. Yeah, I cannot think of their names right now.
I don't know if I've heard of a dual one. I'm not sure what that would even mean.
What it means is there's literally like a two-stage buffer.
Okay.
So it takes the initial impulse, and then there's a secondary buffer that absorbs recoil. So they take a 300 Win Mag, mm-hmm. drop it down to like a 308 recoil.
Okay.
And they take a 308, and it's now the equivalent of about a 5.56 or a 223
okay.
recoil. So with a dual buffer system, and I'm just wondering, now I've got their card. I'm trying to, from a year ago.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I literally stopped by their booth because someone had mentioned their dual system, and I actually spoke with the guy.
Was it a roller delay maybe, or was it a...
Man, I wish something else. I wish I could remember. Nemo. Right. There you go. That's it. Nemo arms.
Let me look that up. I've heard of that, I think.
Yeah, New Evolutionary Military Ordnance. Nemo. NemoArms.com. But they have a two-stage buffer system they have created. And it is, I had the guy take it apart and show it to me there at the SHOT Show last year.
Mm-hmm.
Very innovative. Pretty cool. One of the guys who started the podcast with me, Leo.
Okay.
He's the one who was like, dude, you need to stop by there because I have one of their guns and it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I'm wondering if they or somebody has like a dual or a two-stage buffer system.
Mm-hmm. I'll say the one
really soften it.
The unrivaled one, I would say in my testing has been, I've tried pretty much under the sun. That one's been the best one I've been able to find. And I'm not just saying that because they're my friends. Like I've compared it to the SCS. It's very dependent on user preference. So it's very subjective, depending on what kind of recoil impulse you like. And there's kind of as a two stage, you could say, cause there's two different springs. There's the light spring that, it goes the full length of the recoil cycle. And then it's got kind of a short, like 3-incher heavy duty one that kind of makes it so it doesn't bottom out and snaps forward faster. So depending on how you want to define two stage, but they're kind of the ones that I've kept coming back to, that have been the most consistent. So I think, like I said, I think I can pretty consistently double tap like a 12 to 15 inch target at 150 yards okay. on a given day. Once I get my ammo ready and stuff.
With your AR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So now at what point did you go, okay, moving on to the pistol. Did you mm-hmm. go, okay, I need to get better. The Glock's not working.
That's a funny. So I probably had the Glock for about a year and a half, 2 years, maybe, if I'm remembering correctly. I remember it very specifically. There was one stage at Cowtown. You did a whole, you shot a bunch of rifle, did some shotgun, ended with pistol. So you were kind of gassed at that point. And I'm shooting tac. So I've got, I forget what iron sights I had in my Glock at that point. I had upgraded from stock to something else, but there was a, it wasn't a ridiculously hard target. It might've been like a 10 inch circle at 30 yards. Like nothing crazy, like a hard target, but the whole point was like, you get gassed, you're kind of winded. It's hard to hit a target after that. I think I threw 3 mags at it and I couldn't hit it.
Wow.
And I just literally ran out of ammo and had to stop. And I'd been considering getting a new pistol at that point. And to be fair, like if you gave me a Glock, I could probably hit that 10 out of 10 times now, that I'm better at shooting pistol with my stock Glock. But I, at that point I was like, okay, I'm done. I couldn't hit that thing. And it was a Gen 4 Glock 19. So the trigger pull was just, it's the most atrocious out of all of them. Like the Gen 5 is actually pretty okay. The Gen 3 is a little bit less okay, but kind of okay. And the Gen 4 is just complete crap. It's just awful. And I had stock everything. So I was just like, okay, I just want to buy the thing that everyone else has that everyone's beating me with. And I'm just going to go with that. So, yeah.
Now, there are a bazillion, and that's a technical word, mm-hmm. a bazillion accessories for Glocks out there. Is there not a trigger that will work that makes the Glock better?
I'm sure there is. I just was so sick of it, and I just wanted it. I'll be honest. I just wanted like the fancy, nice thing that my buddies had.
Did the thought ever come into your mind that you would throw the gun at the target and knock it down?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, you're human.
If only not because it was such a far target that I probably couldn't throw it that far, but yeah, that I would have probably.
Oh, that's funny. All right, so you got the STI, now called. Mm-hmm. So we won't say what that normally stands for, mm-hmm. because I don't want to disparage Staccato.
Right.
But now they're Staccato. So when you got that, when you got your mm-hmm. STI in and you took that to the range, now what was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. It was great trigger. I never really had to do anything to the gun. I also wasn't super experienced. So that was, this was before the Staccato rebrand. So it was, they only had STIs and it was their iron sighted. It was an Edge is the model, but just a great gun out of the box. It still kind of disappoints me. I get why they went to the tactical market. There's way more money and the way they're doing stuff is great. And their business has really exploded, but the old STIs, they were really good just for the money too. Cause I think I paid $2,000 for mine, like 4 or 5 years ago. And, or no, it would have been like 3 or 4 years ago at this point. Just a fantastic gun. I still have it. So I don't shoot it as much cause I'm in shooting red dot stuff now, but it's just a good gun.
So what are you shooting with a red dot now?
So right now I actually have a Voodoo Gunworks 2011. They just started manufacturing 2011s and honestly, some of the best value 2011s I think you're going to be able to find out there for the money right now compared to everything else. I think, yeah, they just, Harry's their gunsmith, super cool guy. I've talked to him a bunch and they just do good work. They can get you pretty much anything you want as far as like functionality model wise. And I think their wait list is increasing. When I got it, the wait list wasn't too bad because I got in pretty early, but they're just very solid guns for the money.
You said Voodoo Arms?
Voodoo Gunworks. So it's actually the same Voodoo that makes 22LR custom bolt guns.
Okay.
Within the past like year and a half, they started making a 2011 line and they're getting really popular. For the money, because I think people are sick of spending or having to spend $8,000 to $9,000 on an Atlas or Infinity, because even Atlas didn't used to be as much as it was now. Like in the last 2 years, it's probably gone up 30-40% price. So people are just, I was in the point where I don't have that kind of money to throw at something. So I needed something else. And Voodoo's been great.
I bought a Rival Steel and that's the most I've ever spent on a pistol.
Mm-hmm. Those are great guns, man.
Yeah, for the money, they don't shoot out to 2,000 yards.
hey, the Voodoo doesn't either. So I spent way more on the Voodoo than you did on the Rival. So, oh God, that's funny.
That's how I'm like, okay, how far is this going to get me? Because if right. it's only getting me to 50 or 60 yards, I'm not spending that much money.
On right. It. Definitely. So, as you know, though, it's the difference of like, I want all of the problems to just be me. I don't want any of it to be the gun. So yeah, you for sure get it though. But
oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I totally understand it. I mean, and look, whether it's everyday carry, you're just looking for something that functions well mm-hmm. and shoots well enough out to 15, 20 yards. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you never have to shoot beyond that. Mm-hmm. Or even USPSA, to shoot carry optics, I don't need a $4,000 or $5,000 gun. No, a $500 gun with a red dot works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you running for red dots?
Red dots? I think I'm putting, right now I mostly have SROs on my stuff.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I think.
Is there something sneaking in there that you're not aware of?
So I was getting into red dots. When I was doing that, the SRO was really the mainstay. But recently the Holosun comp has come out. Also, there's some Vortex dots on the market now. I think they're coming out with another one. I'm not sure. They just came out with one that's pretty comparable. I think there's another. I'm not sure. So those could start to be mainstays, but I guess when I was buying my dots, with the SRO was the only option. I've bought a comp, and I actually think it's really good for the money. So if I had to buy another one, I'm not sure what I would get, but it would be probably an SRO or a comp. So,
yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies are now coming out with mm-hmm. competition size dots, you know, like you said, Holosun just did it. Mm-hmm. Canik is now coming out with their own line.
I haven't seen that one, but I heard about it. Yeah.
I played with it at SHOT Show. It's nice. It's okay. A little bit bigger than the SRO size for $250.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's going to be half price of an SRO, same mm-hmm. size, little bit of different shape. It's kind of odd. Some people don't like it aesthetically, mm-hmm. but apparently it.
I actually didn't see that.
They engineering more structure strength into it with the way they did it. But I mean, Siley Bull, that thing's ginormous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen that. That thing's huge.
I haven't seen that one in person, but I've seen pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just seems like everybody's getting into the competition dot. I mean, mm-hmm. I even have on my steel canic, I've mm-hmm. got a Viridian RX35, and it's mm-hmm. the same size. Whoop, let me go this way.
Yep. But yeah, that's pretty pretty SRO similar. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, very similar, but mm-hmm. it has a green dot. I see green better than I do red, so
mm-hmm.
it works better for me.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of options right now.
Yeah, and then on my plastic Rival, I have an SRO. Right. I do love the SRO.
It's funny that on the plastic one, you have the more expensive optic. I don't know why that's funny, but it just is.
Well, I was like, I'm not taking this thing off again. I'm leaving it on. I'm just going to get something different. And I was like, I'm getting a green one, dang it.
Yeah, I tried the whole green thing because I actually have a really bad astigmatism, funny enough, which there's a whole story in there. Short story is I shot tack because I thought red dots were just crap, but I didn't know it was because of my eyes. So that's why I never bought a red dot. I went to the store originally when I was getting my Glock and was looking at red dots. I was like, why do people want these things? They all look garbage. They're all just like bloomed out and like, how am I going to aim with this? The gun store employee wasn't like knowledgeable enough to be like, dude, that's your eyes. Like, that's not. So I found that out like 2 years down the line from my buddy telling me like, that's your eyes, man. Like, dots aren't supposed to look like that. I was like, oh my God, this is why you have them. Oh my gosh. Well, so that's okay. A whole other thing, but
I'm going to read something off of your Instagram real quick.
Okay.
It says pro three gunner. What does that mean?
I think there's a lot of different definitions of the word professional, in the industry. I actually, what's funny is that I've just had enough people tell me personally that they think I am one, that I felt obligated to put it on my Instagram page because it felt like not sandbagging if I didn't have it there, but it just felt right. to label myself as that, where I have some major match wins under my belt now. I think a lot of people would define that as pro. I would actually more have the definition of professional as someone who makes their income off of that, almost solely and or primarily, which I definitely do not. But that being said, that's also a way higher barrier to entry for being called a pro. So I just label it myself as that, because there's a lot of, I think the majority of people probably would call me that. And it's just a simple way to kind of succinctly say what I like to do and how good I am at it. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. Are you in the firearms business?
I am not. I've probably got less sponsors than most people think. And at least as of right now, none of it's actually for money. It's just for products and match sponsorships, that kind of a thing. So want to get into training at some point. I have plans on getting into competition training and just basic weapon handling training. But that's kind of down the line. There's a lot of steps I need to take before that, like getting NRA certified, getting insurance. It's a whole process and journey, so I need to step into that soon, but that's just in the plans.
Okay. Now, mm-hmm. So what then does your training look like throughout the year, and how does it fluctuate with matches? And two, what does 2024 look like for you match schedule wise?
So that's actually a really interesting one right now. So training wise, there was a long period in time where it was just whenever I could happen to make it. It wasn't as big of a priority in the earlier years for me. I just wanted to, but I wasn't taking it as seriously. In the first couple of years, it was more of a fun hobby. But when I started to took a class, realized I could start taking this more seriously and be really good. Dry fires, definitely. If I have a very specific thing I'm leading up to, it's an everyday thing for sure. Of varying amounts per day. I think burning yourself, it's really easy to burn yourself out. And I'm an individual that tends to lean towards the burning out really fast because I just overdo something. Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Yeah.
So leaning towards, if I don't want to do something, I don't do it. So there's some days I just don't dry fire. If I'm leading up to something, I just need a little mental break or whatever. But typically, if there's a match coming up that I really care about, it'll be a couple hours a day. I have a backyard set up that I live at home. So that's one big asterisk to why I can do all this. But we have a decently sized backyard that we're not using for anything else. So I have our wall has lined with some targets that are varying sizes and shapes. And I have some water barrels that I set up that I can do manipulations around. That's where the majority of my dry fire happens. And then it gets kind of brutal when it's hot because that's in the backyard and it's 120 sometimes. So sometimes I just suck it up. Sometimes I just stay inside and do more limited dry fire. Dry fire is the biggest one. Then I'm trying to hit the range. I'm pretty consistently at the range every week if I can help it. I'll have the whatever weekend match we're shooting because, again, I'm in Arizona, so I'm blessed to be able to more or less shoot as much as I want match schedule wise. So I'll have typically a local 3-gun rifle or USPSA match every Saturday. There's a lot of my friends that shoot Saturday and Sunday. I've got church responsibilities that I volunteer for and stuff on Sundays. I play in keyboards in our worship ministry. So typically my Sundays are taken, but that's honestly a good thing because I would probably burn myself out way faster on shooting if I was shooting Sundays too, which I definitely would. But usually there's a weekend match every week, and every other week I'd say there's a midweek match, like on a Thursday or a Wednesday, that I go to. And then Mondays are my typical training days. There's a local range that I go to, Rio Salado, that I have good connections with, and I can train there pretty consistently on Mondays. And then I have all my shooting buddies that are usually with me on Mondays too. So it just makes it a good, like, kind of guys night out, hanging out and getting my training done that I want to. But it's not as high of a round count as a lot of other people's. I'd say my round count live fire, depending on what I have coming up, is probably 200, 300 rounds on average. And then leading up to a match, it might get up to like 400, 500 in a really big, and that's usually for pistol. In a super deep training, I'd say 500 is the most I ever get in. But I tend to tailor it specifically to whatever major matches I have coming up. So for example, the two gun match that I had for PCSL, wasn't touching my shotgun, didn't care about it. I only care about whatever the next big thing is that I'm doing. So I would shoot it for funsies if I felt like it, but I wouldn't be like training on it at all. So pretty primarily pistol is kind of the majority of my training. I'd say 85%. Just because it's the fastest deteriorating skill, I would say, and it's the highest skill cap. So the gains to be had there, I think, are the biggest, comparatively to shotgun or rifle. And it's also the easiest and cheapest to train. So there's that too. So it's just a double reason to train that more than anything else. Rifle probably 7%, shotgun 7%. Dry fire, shotgun ends up being a lot more, which is the quad loading, if I'm getting used to that again. And it's typically just whatever I feel like I need to work on more. That ended up being a really long-winded answer. Sorry. I feel like I kind of bounced back and forth between live fire, dry fire, and all that. But
yeah, but no, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And then you asked about match schedule. So it's definitely not official yet, and I don't want to break any, like, there's no NDAs I signed or anything, but a world shoot is coming up, and as of right now, I secured the alternate slot for the men's open team, which is essentially, they'll be sending 5 people for each division, and four people are on the team. One's an alternate as a backup, just in case something happens, like someone's guns don't show up in the plane, someone's guns blow up and they can't use them anymore. I don't know if like someone DQ'd, if they would sub in, because technically they showed up for the match. I don't know how that works, but essentially I'm the first backup. So they send me too. So pretty much up until early August, my training is going to be primarily just rifle. So, which is a big shift for me, because usually it's just pistol with a little bit of shotgun and rifle, which is kind of the explanation for the 18-inch gun, for the load workup I just talked about a little bit ago, for all of that.
Right.
And then there's actually a match early March that I have coming up that I'm trying to get my ducks in a row for. So the schedule is actually a lot thinner due to that. Last year was pretty big in the schedule. There were probably 7 or 8, maybe even 9 major matches. But this one, this year, I should say, I have a rifle match, an IWI rifle challenge, I think as it's called, in North Carolina. That's the second weekend of March. And then the third weekend of March is Superstition, just my local 3-gun big major match. I'm not actually taking that one as seriously as I have the last 3 years, partially because I won my division last year, which was a big, big, big goal of mine. That was like my first, like, kind of like biggest hopes and dreams realized sort of thing. In the last 3 years that I got. So after getting it, it's not as big of a deal to me. I still want to take it seriously. But I'm still shooting it because it's a local major. Like, I'm not just going to skip out on that. But other than that, I think those are the only two bigger matches I'm shooting before the world shoot in August. I think I'm just pretty much devoting to training. If there's another rifle match that might pop up that I want to shoot, I might do that, but I dropped out of Texas 3-gun. I'm not going to shoot Rocky Mountain 3-gun like I did last year. It's actually the same weekend as World Shoot, so I'm not, obviously not shooting that one. But the only other matches I have planned are Memorial 3-gun. That one's kind of I don't think I ever want to miss that match. It's such a fantastic match. And PCSL, because I've got really good ties to the group that runs that match. Max is really great. It's a great match. It's a lot of fun, and it's closer to me, so I'm going to do that one. But past that, I'm not sure.
All right, so Rifle World Shoot, you said in August?
Yep, second weekend in August, I think. It's actually, okay. I shouldn't say weekend, because it's actually a whole week-long match, so it's not either end. It's the whole thing.
Right.
But, mm-hmm.
And it's in a climate that's almost exactly the same as Arizona.
Yeah, Finland. It's like super, yeah, Finland. Super hot, super miserable all the time. It's totally
dusty and arid.
Yeah, totally the same. Yeah. Walk in the park. Yep.
So, I mean, okay, so have you traveled outside of the U.S. with weaponry?
Nope. And that's going to be a whole thing. Pretty much everything about going to that match is going to be a first for me, whether it's IPSC shooting, just a rifle match. Actually, well, I'll have the match in March that's just a rifle match. But flying out of the country, figuring out how to get ammo there. I think I'm importing ammo. Like, you can't even just mail your ammo like you usually do at three-gun matches. And it's too much ammo to fly with, and the laws are sketchy enough that it's like, if you get your ammo confiscated, cool, you just wasted 6 months of training, and like, cool, that's it, I guess. So I'm not risking that.
Have you reached out to Becky Yackley yet?
I have. I talked with her a little bit, okay. And as the day comes nearer and nearer, I'm going to be reaching out to a lot of the other people that hypothetically are on the unannounced team for now, about like what their plans are and how they have. I think I have a plan for ammo. I don't want to disclose because it's another buddy that's we're trying to keep the group small, but I think I know what I'm doing there. And then past that, I have the Airbnb reserved. Don't know the flight yet. Don't know how rental cars work. I have to do all that. So it's all new to me for sure. So.
Yeah. I mean, I've been overseas, but Uncle Sam always paid the bill, and
right.
I didn't have to worry about
your schedule getting... was pretty determined.
Yeah, and I could take whatever they wanted me to have. Mm-hmm. was easy.
You hope.
But I mean, she had put out some blog posts before the Pistol World shoot, mm-hmm. and I was like, wow, this is pretty remarkable. So she's mm-hmm. a hell of a resource for traveling over. I mean, they've done it so much that it's like mm-hmm. she knows all the little tricks and tips and
yep.
everything else. So I always ask people, have you spoken with Becky yet?
Yeah.
She's an encyclopedia for international travel.
I heard from one friend, I think Bobby, that I was talking to, that she was doing a lot of research into Finland, and she was going to either post it or just like reach out to people that are going, or be free to talk to. So I'm definitely going to reach out to her in a little bit and see what her plans are and like what she has for tips and tricks. So that's a good call for sure.
Yeah,
I definitely the whole thing. I'm going to be leaning on people that are more experienced than I do. So,
yeah, I would too. I'd be mm-hmm. a little paranoid that either my ammo would get confiscated, or my gun would get, you know, something. Mm-hmm. As I learned from Linda when I had her on, that her and Max had their PCCs mm-hmm. confiscated coming back.
Yep.
I was like, oh my gosh, terrible.
Yeah.
That's
not looking forward to that part, but it is what it is.
Worse than that is ending up in jail yourself.
Right. In another country that you don't speak the language. Yeah. That's right. Like a fun time.
And you don't know how to get a hold of the embassy.
You're right.
Oh God. So yeah, I'm with you there.
Mm-hmm.
So we spoke a little bit the last time about goals. I know you said you want to win a world shoot rifle, shotgun, pistol.
Mm-hmm.
So after August,
mm-hmm.
so apparently you're doing the PCSL after mm-hmm. that. But what does your focus change to after come September?
I think first thing I'm focusing on is, just making sure I have like just the kind of rough skills I need for three gun again. 'Cause I think Memorial's before PCSL, and I want to defend my title in Memorial as best I can, because I won modified division this last year. So I definitely want to do good at that match again. So I think probably just getting my three gun skills up to speed again as fast as I can in that regard. So probably won't need to do anything rifle wise, because I probably won't want to look at a rifle after August. But just shooting a lot of pistol, getting that skill back up to speed, and then just making sure I still know how to quad load a shotgun and aim it relatively fast. Getting that back up. And then going to PCS, as soon as Memorial would be done, probably drop the shotgun, get used to shooting. I imagine my hit factor rifle's still going to be pretty up to snuff from 6 months of training. So probably we'll just shift to just pistol training for PCSL. So that's the rough plan, but it's definitely very free flowing and just whatever I feel like doing or whatever I feel like I need to work on at the time. So it could change. But
so this year is rifle, next year is pistol.
Mm-hmm.
The year after must be shotgun.
Yep. And I think long term, there's a lot of it's a very long term goal. It's not even something that I have in mind that I'm gonna get done in the next, like I'm gonna win the next three. Like I don't winning one in one lifetime is just an entire life pursuit for a lot of people. So I'm not even going to act like that's a realistic goal. I'm not going to act like it's a feasible goal that I ever could get done, but it's just a kind of like, hey, this is kind of, you know, pipe dream. Everything aligns and I get to do exactly what I want. My life turns out exactly how I want. This would be what I want. The harder part is a lot of financial stuff and commitments with all of that, because it gets real expensive real fast. And I could lose my job and not have the financial means to support doing this anymore, and I have to stop, you know. So there's a lot of variables. But I think in general, I think right now I'm just trying to gain experience. I'm not even going to act like I have a good idea of if I'm going to win rifle or not. I'd like to podium. I think that's a realistic goal for me at this point. And even then, that's a really ambitious goal. But there's guys like Jarko and Rain and is his name Kimmy? I think I can't remember who won the last one. The shorter JP shooter. All three of those guys, they've been doing this specific style of shooting way longer than I have. So even if I just can kind of score close to them, it would be amazing. Yeah.
Okay. Would you suffice being on the podium as a team member?
Being on the podium as on the team would be super cool too. I don't want to put any stake in that right now, because that would also hinge on one of them having to drop out as of right now, because I'm not technically on the four of the official team, so I'm not going to be participating in any team scoring as far as that goes. But it would be cool.
I just meant within your entire shooting career.
Oh,
would you be happy being on the podium as a team member?
Oh, of course. I think as far as the individual goal goes, though, I think I have in mind winning overall as an individual, winning all three of those. It would, I mean, you know, being on the, even just being on the team for all three would be an achievement, let alone winning individual. 'Cause I don't even know if there's a lot of people who have done all three, and done good at all three. So, and it gets a little messy with, I don't think, roughly the plan for me, at least how I see it happening, doing rifle this year. I don't think I'm going to be doing pistol this upcoming one, just because there's so many USPSA as they're running it right now. There's so many more pre-qualifiers for pistol world shoot because there are so many more pistol matches. Jeremy Gresham's doing good work with USPSA, and I don't know if he's working specifically with IPSC on trying to standardize the rifle and shotgun side of it more, because typically what's supposed to happen is there's qualifying matches throughout the year leading up to all these matches for 3 years leading up to all these matches. And they can just select based off of that. But because USPSA doesn't run rifle or shotgun matches hardly ever. In fact, I don't even know if they ever have, other than USPSA multi-gun once a year. There's no qualification. It's just kind of pick the people they think are going to be best based on XYZ factors. There's no official, like, you won this major match, so you get 10 points. You won this, you got second in this major match, etc. But with pistol, there is, because there's so many, and I haven't participated in a lot of them. So I think, I don't think making it to Worlds this coming one I think it's South Africa, is a realistic goal. And I think getting this experience under my belt and then processing it, going back to kind of the normal three gun circuit and kind of being able to apply those skills and then kind of reapproaching it again in a couple years or 3 years is probably going to be the best approach for me. But I, that's just a very rough idea of what I think could happen. You know, God's got other plans. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. So it looks like you've got a gaming headset on there.
Oh yeah. Actually, this is a, this is the headset I use for playing keyboards at church, funny enough. And I use it for gaming too. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. But it also looks like your webcam's pretty solid. Do you stream? Mm-hmm.
I don't stream, unfortunately. There was actually, this is, oh God, this is not dating myself, but giving away a lot of information. There was a period when I was in college. I think it was when I was 17 or 18. I streamed full time for a year because it's what I wanted to try it. And I had the free time. It's a very, that's a very long segment of my life and like a fun side story, but didn't end up working out for marketing reasons and burnout reasons. And it was a fun period of my life that I definitely don't regret, but don't do it anymore. So, and that was a while, that was 10 years ago at this point. I mean, Twitch was, it wasn't even, no, it was Twitch when I started, but when I was watching, it was Justin.tv. So that was even before Twitch was big. Twitch was the only one in the area, so to speak. That was before YouTube was doing streaming. That was before, it was a while ago, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So,
right.
But not for very long.
So when you play video games, what are you playing?
I am playing, I will probably be hopping onto Escape from Tarkov with a few buddies right after this, right after we're
Escape
finished
from
with
who?
This. Escape from Tarkov. So if you haven't heard of that game, I need to come
You're
up
old.
With a succinct way. No, not at all. It's a very niche game that has a very cult following. I need to come up. I answer this question actually so often that I should have a more succinct way to kind of sum up the game, but it's very realistic in terms of the gunplay, how your character, takes damage and moves around, and just the mechanics of how he interacts with the map. You've got gear that you bring in to the raid, so to speak, and depending on the map that you're going into, there can be anywhere from like 5 to 15 players, all on varying sizes of teams. There's no specified like I'm running by myself, so everyone else is running by myself. You're just going to run into whoever you run into. Different quests and objectives you have to complete. You'll spawn on one edge of the large map and you'll have to work your way through to the other side while other teams are doing their objectives and working your way through. You can choose to avoid everyone. You can choose to try to fight and kill everyone. But if you die, you lose the gear that you brought in. So it's very punishing in that aspect. Because you can just be broken, run out of gear, and then be forced to like live off of scraps until you find enough stuff to kind of start making your way back. Wow. But very long progression. It's just fun to play with friends. The gunplay is also some of the best in any game that I've seen. And it gets so into the details of assembling the guns that I feel like I'm building a rifle like I did when I put together my 18-inch. Like, you'll have to put a gas block on this one, and this gas block doesn't work because it interacts with this rail, and it doesn't fit. And you can't mount this scope because you don't have this height riser for this. And if you mount this scope,
God,
yeah,
this is not fun. This is work.
So it's the skill curve is more like a cliff that you just have to jump off of. So anyone that's just trying to get into it, it's very borderline impossible. But for those of us that are into it, it's just kind of like, it's spoiled every other game because we're so into it, if that makes sense. So,
okay. Now I'm not, I just, the only game I've really ever played is Call of Duty. So,
okay. Yeah.
But the reason I ask that is, well, number one, I mean, your webcam's been clear the entire time. Mm-hmm. The clarity is very good. Your mic, very good, all of that. So that's mm-hmm. why I was asking about the streaming. But the reason I asked about the video games is, have you played around with the Ace virtual reality?
I'm trying to remember. I did one at SHOT Show that I don't think it was the Ace one. It was the projector one that I messed with at SHOT Show. The something laser training. But I have a friend Carson Herding that got a hold of one, and I'm definitely going to have to go to his house and mess with it sometime. So I heard good things. It seems really cool.
Don't do it.
It just absorbs your whole world.
It's like crack.
Yeah, I believe it.
I tell you what, I played with it for about 10 minutes at Prairie Fire, and because they were there. And when I put it on, I was like, okay, you know, I'm in my mind, I'm like, okay, it's kind of like you wear goggles, but it's Wii. It's Wii with goggles, you know?
Sure.
And then I started shooting. I'm like, this is nothing like Wii. This is legit. Yeah.
Do they have?
And then you realize your grip matters, your trigger control matters. Yeah. You're like, oh, wait a minute. This is legit.
Do they have how does the recoil get involved with it? Because I heard they have something that you feel
in the game. There is a little bit of recoil, but really, I'll be honest with you, you don't need it.
Okay.
Because if you're not gripping that gun well, the grip module is not a gun; it's just a grip module.
Right.
And then the controller sits on top. But if you are not gripping it like you would be shooting live ammunition, that gun will move. Those sights will move. So I was like, I put it up there. I'm like, whoa, this dot's all over the place.
Yeah.
So I ended up cranking down. And then I was shooting so much for so long and gripping so tight that my support hand was sliding forward.
Okay.
On the grip. So now you'll see people are putting different things like skateboard tape and other stuff on their grip.
Like they would with a real gun.
Like a real gun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Man, it was amazing. After 10 minutes, you're like, oh yeah. If you, like Tim Heron had created, he just took an extra belt he had laying around and an old SIG holster he had. And now he has an actual rig. So he could go from the draw and everything. Yeah. And I've had a couple of people on now. The amount of virtual trigger pulls you can have compared to live and all the stuff they have. You can do group shooting. You can do drills. Mm-hmm. You can do movement stages. I mean, just so they had movers, actual movers.
Yeah.
Then they had swingers, bobbers with activators, Texas stars. Mm-hmm. Everything you could think of was in that game. And you can play virtually with your friends. So you guys can all get on.
That seems like the cooler part for sure.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're still getting something out of it. It's pretty amazing.
Right. That's tempting, man.
If you're into video games and you can do that virtually out of real stuff. It's like, oh, this is terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, I might have to stay away from it based on your warning, but
yeah,
I'm sure I'm going
to
try.
Just go to Carson's house to play with it and then come back. Leave it there.
For sure.
Leave it there.
For sure.
Well, AJ, that's what I had. Was there anything that you wanted to mention that we talked about?
No, I was hanging out talking. Good. I just love talking about shooting, man. I could talk about it all day till my voice goes numb. So
me too.
It's,
I mean, Jarrett Heinrich and I were on for 4 hours talking.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have to take a break at that point because my voice would start to actually go out. But
my bladder would scream at me. So
that too. Yeah.
Between coffee and Monster, it'd be like, look, we got to take a break.
Yep. Definitely.
All right. Well, I'm going to post a link to your Instagram in the in the show notes. So is there anything else you want? You want me to add to that, or is that good?
No, Instagram's good. That links to all my other stuff, and I don't have a lot of social media, so my sponsors are on my Instagram. So,
well, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the conversation.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. It was a fun talk. I'm glad to be part of it.
Until next time,
don't be a little bitch.
Yeah.